Giants fans, and welcome to episode 2 of GI Antics, your weekly Nelson Giants podcast. Great to have you listening, and thank you very much for the support for the first episode. Over 600 downloads, heaps of buzz around town, around the games this weekend. Even down in Christchurch, I was getting people talking to me about it. So even the Canterbury Rams have started their own one. What a homage that is to us, I'd say. Hugh Baden here, Phil Jones with me. G'day, Phil.
G'day, Hugh.
How are you feeling, mate? Two games down.
Two games down, two wins for the Rapid League Giants.
Yeah,
Giants, and then 0-2 for the Giants. So I'm sure the Rapid League team is probably talking a bit of trash to the Giants at the moment.
I hope so. We've got Dan Greeter with us, and we'll bring him in really shortly. First of all, Phil, it's really a little warm-up, a little quiz for you that I think we'll do each week in a different form each week. It's called Name That Giant. Okay?
Okay.
I think I've made it too
slightly
easy.
Nervous.
I want you to play along at home and see if you can get it quicker than Phil gets it, and let us know on Facebook. I'm going to read out a player's career, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And then when you think you've got it, say it, okay?
Yep.
And we'll see how quickly you can get it. Nelson Giants. Kuvok Kuvula. East Kentucky Miners. BC Kalev. Oh. Southeast Texas Mavericks.
This is an import.
Hawke's Bay Hawks. Manawatu Jets. Nelson Giants. Townsville Crocodiles. Shreveport Bossier Mavericks. That is the career of a Nelson Giant.
Of a Nelson Giant.
Two-time Nelson Giant, by the sounds of that list.
Right. Kiwi or American? Any hints?
Give you some hints. Okay. He won a championship in 2007. That's such an easy hint, Q. Why have I gone way too easy a hint?
Well, it's not Ed Book. And
he was an NCAA champion.
Josh Pace.
It's Josh Pace.
Right. Okay.
Josh Pace.
That was tough.
Well, when I said Nelson Giants and Kuvok, I thought you might just quickly jump in with Tony Rampton. Or you.
I actually thought it was me when you said Kuvok. I was like, that's me, but then I hadn't played at any of those other places. Like, not me.
Josh Pace was a hell of a player, wasn't he?
Yeah. Left-hander, too.
You love
great left-hander. he was excellent. Like, great to play with. Just a little funky with his shot, but pretty effective.
A lot of memories from Josh Pace for Giants fans. And Jets fans.
Yeah.
Hawks Bay fans. Anyway, Dan Greeter, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Hugh. Thank you.
How are you settling in?
Yeah, great, great. I was saying to the boys, like, it hasn't changed much at all since I was here in 2019. A lot of different faces, but it's been great meeting all the new boys and, getting along with them. And, it's been great.
What are your memories from 2019? Because obviously it went well, because here you are. And I know you tried to come back in 2020, but obviously COVID hit. So what were your memories, your crowning memories?
I don't know. It was kind of like my first, like, little overseas thing. Like, I was having a lot of fun. I was 20 years old. Huge, like, elite friendship with Reese Vega, other import. We grew up in the same area, but never really were, like, knew each other. He's 3 or 4 years older than me. So, they put us in a house together, and the first night, like, we always say it was like on stepbrothers, you know, do we just become like best friends? That was like the first night, like, we just really like bonded, and he's like my best mate to this day. So we talk all the time, and got to come here with Jordair Jett, who I played with at the Hawks,
right,
who was great. Yeah. And he was a, awesome teammate and, friend. And then obviously, like, back with Inge and Sammy Dempster. So it's been, been a cool journey, and, like, stoked to be back here with all those boys.
Were you assistant coach that year?
No.
On and off.
Game day assistant
coach. Yeah, I was trying around, helping out.
Yeah, work
in
us
the
out on game days and stuff like that. So
I was trying to get away from it as much as possible. Just keep getting dragged back into it.
Yeah, look at you.
Here
now.
We are.
Because that was my first year commentating the NBL.
Yeah.
I was based in Auckland and bounced around, and obviously loved coming down to Nelson. Here I am. But I remember you and Jordair Jett had epic hair also. And that was a fun Giants team, eh? Mika, was that the year Mika?
Mika came back.
And then hurt his knee. That was the World Cup year, right? 2019 World Cup. He missed the World Cup. He was going to captain the Tall Blacks at the World Cup. And that was almost the last time he played for the Tall Blacks.
Yeah.
That was gutting.
Sad. We also had Cruz Perahan, who's killing it right now.
He's
and then
great.
We had Tyrell as well. So it was a cool squad. Me and Dan were saying, like, man, if we had that like team now, that'd be like, it'd be cool to have like Tyrell and stuff. But he's
Nice to have a bigger unit coming along sooner than later, hopefully.
We're waiting.
Just picturing stepbrothers, Rick Vague on top bunk, Dan on the bottom bunk.
Don't touch the drum.
Tell us about Reese Vague's tattoos.
Crazy. So
he's gone next level.
He has, and it's actually a cool story. His first ever one was here, about halfway through the season, going on his forearm. And yeah, the floodgates kind of opened, didn't they? Because they're covered now. I think they look awesome. I'm a big fan. But yeah, he's really pulling off that kind of indie, like Frio chic, I guess you'd call it. I don't really know what type of look it is, but I think he looks awesome.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's kind of similar personality to Finn Delaney. Am I wrong there? Or like, you know, interests, like artsy interests.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So I can see how he fit in Nelson.
Definitely.
Interested to see what comes next for Reese. I saw he's leaving Southeast Melbourne now. So interested to see what comes next.
Yeah, he's playing at Cobourne with Riley Benson.
Oh, that's right. He's playing with the Cougs.
Yeah, with the Cougars. Yeah, yeah. So that's cool to see how he goes there.
Absolutely. You're back. Obviously, I guess those memories are the reason you're back.
Yeah.
Coach Fitcher brought you over. Was it an easy decision to make to come back?
Yeah, super easy. Like we said, like I was going to come back in 2020, and then COVID, it was terrible. I was set to fly out on like the Sunday or something, and it was a Friday, and Fitch kind of called me and was like, hey, the season's done from COVID. So because of that, I went and worked out at Lakeside, like went and scrimmaged with the NBL 1 boys, and it was that night I did my first knee. So it kind of, stuffed me up a little bit. But yeah, then always wanted to try and come back, but had these knee issues, and they wanted me to stay in Illawarra to just keep working out and get healthy. So I did that. And I actually haven't played in an off season since that first one. So I never played NBL 1, never went anywhere else. So this is kind of like my first time in an off-season league again, and super pumped it's here. Loved it here the first time. So
two ACLs.
Yep, two ACLs.
Damn,
tough to come back. Like you look like you're moving really well, and you know, you must be loving it.
Yeah,
back on the floor playing.
Well, that's it. I kind of like whether I love playing, and like I'm really trying to win, but like I'm super stoked to just be playing again at a high level, in like a great league. So yeah, super grateful for that.
Right, before we kick into Go Giants Go, we'll just put a few plugs out there. Make sure you review us, please. Like I said, awesome feedback and support around the first episode. We're now weekly, so we weren't here last week, primarily because of my schedule. Apologies. But we'll be weekly from now on until the rest of the season. Like and subscribe. Find the Giants YouTube channel as well. That's where you'll find the video of this podcast as well. See Phil's beautiful shiny head. And any questions, any feedback, email hugh@nelsongiants.basketball. Right, Go Giants Go, which is where we talk about the Giants, funnily enough. Two games, first one down in Christchurch. I was down there. Dan, you're obviously down there. Phil, you were watching on the television. I was in the stand with your daughter, actually, young Ava Jones. We had a great time.
Yeah, she was messaging me throughout the game. I even saw a picture that you sent to me with her holding a beer in her hand.
Oh, no.
Which is a complete setup because she's not. She doesn't drink, obviously. She's only 15. But, she had a huge smile on her face. So, thank you for taking her along to the game.
No, she loved it. It was cool. And then I saw you right after the game, Dan, and you were just like, cobwebs.
Yeah.
The blowout, the cobwebs. That was the kind of vibe I got. And we talked about this on commentary yesterday, Phil. We've got a whole bunch of guys who haven't played a lot of basketball. Like Dan Fotu, Alex McNaught. They've been with the Breakers, but haven't been on the floor. You as well in the last, towards the end of that Hawk season, as you're coming over a bit of injury as well. So it seemed that way on that game as well.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Naughty were talking, and I was like, man, I've been on our scout team at the Hawks for the past, 2 months, just getting little reps here and there and never like full practices. So I was absolutely gassed. I felt a lot better like lung wise and legs last night, but still a few like just in game situations that I need to remember and try and improve for this Saturday against Wellington. That's a big obstacle we got coming our way. So
certainly is. Phil, your thoughts? I mean, obviously the Giants are a little bit undersized at the moment, and that there is an import coming that can't yet be announced. He's still finishing off his league overseas, and he is a big man. From what we understand, but what do you think about that Rams game?
Yeah, look, I think definitely our three main guys, Dan, yourself, Dan Fotu, and Alex have all lacked game time, and you can't create that game fitness in practices. It just doesn't happen. Yep. Like, and if you're not scrimmaging a lot or playing a lot, you just can't get that feel.
For sure.
And lungs, would have been burning after the first couple of minutes of going up and down with that Rams team, because they were aggressive from the outset. And that was, you could see that was their mindset, was they're just putting heaps of pressure. I think that game could have gone really bad for the Giants. I think it could have blown out to like 30 quickly.
In that third quarter.
Yeah. And you guys did a great job of just hanging in there and keeping it close, and, you know, got it back to 10. And I didn't think it was a bad result at the end of the day. The one thing that, and I'm huge about this, and Hugh knows that I talk about it all the time, and you'll get ripped out for this, is free throws.
Oh,
free throws, right?
Like, we'll get to like, that.
We might talk about that a little bit later on, but you know, the Giants historically have been a pretty good free throw shooting team. You know,
set Mecca.
Yeah, they knock a few down, and they generally get an award at the end of the season for the best, you know, the best team from the line.
Yeah.
Not a great start to the year this year, and I think not so much in the Rams game, but definitely in the Bulls game.
Yeah,
that's cost the Giants a win.
Absolutely,
you know, and it's such an important part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely, it is, and I honestly I hear it so often from him, like off mic, on mic, at trainings where we coach together, just everything. But he's right, and yeah, he can say it because what was your career average roughly?
90.
Yeah, God, I wanted to rip my hair out last time. I was going crazy, man.
I saw you looking at your hands a few times, like, what's going on? Especially when you're knocking down threes and you're hitting mid-range
jumpers.
That's what
I'm saying. Like, the jump actually felt great, and then I get to the line, and I just couldn't seem to get him to go down. But I'll get a few hundred up this week, and
it's just repetition
for sure.
Repetition and getting that confidence, and because you step up there, and it's like, well, no one's guarding me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm standing here. It's just me and the hoop and the ball.
Well, it's like serving in tennis or driving in golf. It's like the one part of the sport that no one else has any effect on.
Yeah.
Do I still serve it into the net? Sure. Do I still slice my drive 400 meters into the ocean? Sure. You know, it's like, it's one of those things,
yeah,
right?
It's a bit mental as well. It's like there's, you should be able to shoot it the same every single time. Like, if you can make one, you can make it every single time. But yeah, frustrating night at the line last night. But yeah, we'll turn that around for sure.
My thoughts on the Rams game when I was there, first of all, they won a championship for the first time in 31 years. If that was us, right, and it will be in the next few years, man, I tell you what, I would take in charge of that banner unveiling and I would make it one of the great nights in the history of the world. I was there. I walked into the stadium. First of all, worst stadium in the league. That's not their fault. They're building a new one. I get that,
cool.
But Cal Stadium, and I'll preface all of this with the Rams are actually a real great organization, awesome people running it. So there's nothing personal here. They know that. They hooked me up with tickets for the game as well. So it's probably pretty bad for me to rip them out right now. But I walk into the arena, and the banner's already on the wall. Clearly visible, right? And remember last year when we retired Mecca's jersey here? Like, man, we went through everything to cover it, to hide it behind the stand, and we had fishing wire, like with hook or by crook, we're making this look good. And it was an awesome night. And Mecca was there with his family, and we pulled it up, and Julie Benson was there, like pulling the fish wire to get it up into the thing. And it looked legit, even though it wasn't. It was pretty like tin pot, but it looked really good. I walk in there, the banner's on the wall. Everyone's like, oh, we missed it. And we were like an hour before the Rapid League tip off. And I was like, surely we haven't missed it. Watched the Rapid League game, which we'll talk about because the young fellas were awesome in that one as well. And then the MC, before, as the guys ran out, he's like, oh, and before we introduce the teams, have a look at the wall and celebrate the Rams championship. Just about flipped the stand. I was like, is that what you're doing? They should be thrown out the league. Outrageous.
Yeah.
You went like for 31. And there's a lot of diehard Rams fans, as you know, for you've played in front of them a long time. Man, that was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, we never saw it on TV. There was not even a mention of it.
And they were supposed to, because obviously I had my foot in the Sky Camp as well with commentary, and I saw all the emails back and forth about, oh, let us know what you're doing for the banner unveiling. We want to film it, record it, because it'll be too early, and then play it at halftime. Not playing that at halftime. Look at the wall. There it is. Disgrace. We're like, where are the rings? Like, where's the team on the court before the game? Like, we were wondering, right, Giants-wise, oh, man, we're going to have to sit through the flipping Rams.
Yeah, we had it in
unveiling.
Our little schedule.
Let it annoy you. Like, let them do it, and don't let them affect you. Like, because that's what you do, right? You make it as grand as possible. Yeah, so the other team has to sit there and watch you, like, get your rings and unveil the banner.
So now you know you've set yourself up for when the Giants do win a championship.
Yeah, pressure's on
here. Is on, because it's got to be immense.
Bring it on. It's got to be immense. Yeah, I mean, it's not a great arena. So it wasn't a great, like, it was fine. It was a good game. It was entertaining. The Rapid League was cool. The arena hinders what they do down there, 100%.
Yeah, but it is quite a cool place to play.
Oh, the atmosphere's good. Like, it's loud, right?
For sure.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
loud. And yeah. They definitely need to do something with those hoops down there, because someone, Max Darling, did a dunk.
Down.
And the
whole thing,
there was a kid sitting in a corporate box. I'm sure he had a little bit of something in his pants after the hoop move, because he was moving fast.
Well, Dan Fotu as well, in the first half, like, pulled it a little bit, and I was like, oh, well, Jack Salt used to do it, remember, when we used to commentate down there. Jack Salt, like, there was times where we thought,
what about
done.
When the shot clock fell off when we were there?
Gosh. Yeah, I was GM of the NBL that year and commentating, and then in the warm-up, someone dunked. Was it Carlin Davison? It was Carlin Davison who, you know, jumped over me at the Westside Blitz and
crazy
dunk. Yeah, he dunked and the shot clock just went, and I just sat there and we were just like,
yeah. I really thought it was going to come down. Yeah. I was like, oh man,
it like
that's
flaps
something
back
crazy.
And forth when someone dunks.
Horrible.
The thing is, like, we rip them out. In like 2 years' time, they'll move to the, and they'll have the best arena in the league, or one of the best two arenas in the league, and good on them. They deserve it. But yeah, I saw Ed Book.
Yep.
Always great to see Big Ed Book. You never miss him walking around. With his family, awesome to see him there. And I met Ernie Kerr's dad, which was literally one of the highlights. What an absolute rooster. You had a chat to him as well, didn't
you? Like, absolute weapon. He was awesome. Yeah. You see how good of a guy Ernie is. You know, his dad was great, had a good chat to him. So.
And he was like bringing up bits of your commentary about Ernie's. Oh, I remember when Phil called him 99% muscle and all this. So, no, it was cool. Shout out to Ernie's dad. Lives over in Hobart at the moment. I was like, oh, what are you doing in Hobart? He goes, oh, you know, midlife crisis. A real rooster. Always goes to see Ernie's first game of whatever season he's playing. So he's never missed the first game of the season. So flew from Hobart to Christchurch to watch the first game and get back. And he works in mining, I think, or something like that. So, that was cool. That was real cool moment. We lost the game. But let's talk about the Rapid League, first of all, then. Because that was really awesome. And we'll combine both Rapid Leagues here. I was a little bit kind of, what's Rapid League going to be like? You know, it's out the box, right? Which is, we know what Justin Nelson does, who's come up with it at Sky. Pretty impressed the first couple of games we've seen, Phil, like with what it brings to the energy to the arena to start with. And guys like Nick Davison has been the shiny example of like coming into the game, the main game, hot because he's had a bit of run.
Yeah, I think it's been a really good initiative for the league and getting the younger guys that generally wouldn't get a lot of time on the court some decent playing time. And you can see a little confidence rise, I think, moving through the group, particularly with the Giants and their group winning their first two games. And they played well in Canterbury. And I think one of the things they did really well was that another one of my sayings is 2 feet in the paint. Like, they put a lot of pressure on the rim and got a, you know, layups, open shots, rebounds. You know, they did a good job of that. And then again, in the last game against the Bulls, they were excellent too. So it's going great. I think it's really good. And other games around the league have been quite impressive watching this young talent sort of coming up and go, you know, getting opportunity to be on the floor.
Does it jam up game day? What's it like for you guys who aren't playing in it?
It's not too bad. I don't mind getting there. And we did a little workout yesterday with the Rapid League guys before their game. And then we kind of go get treatment, watch a bit, then go into the sheds at like maybe like halftime and start talking to Fitch. And then so it actually was fine. We're not there for hours before the game like usual working out. So I didn't mind getting there. And, you know, it's a bit of a quicker preparation, but it was good. And, yeah, we call them the Rapids. They've been killing it these last two games. Mm-hmm. Chambo, huge dunk. Oh, like, maybe one of the biggest dunks I've ever seen like in person.
Well,
like,
Phil said that was one of the biggest dunks you've seen at the Trafalgar Centre. The Trafalgar Centre is 50 years old and the Giants have played there the whole night. Like, you've seen some dunks.
Yeah.
It was like AFL. He kind of jumped and got the boost from the young fella.
Yeah, it was like
Peyton
a kappa.
Hughes.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool.
There's like pictures up there on Instagram. His elbow is above the rim.
Yeah. His head was by the rim, yeah. Comfortably like this.
Yeah.
He was looking down in. You know,
sorry for him.
Yeah.
The classic AFL, knee in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, knee in the chest actually. Went up. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was unreal. And that set the tone for what was an awesome night, the Trafalgar Centre result aside. Like, it was a real cool vibe. James Matthews, talk about him as well, the young fella. So if Rapid League didn't exist, James Matthews would be the guy who comes off the bench for 1 minute or 2 minutes if we're up by 30 or down by 30, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Year 12, Nelson College. Instead, he played almost 16 minutes last night in the Rapid League, scored 18 points. Like, if you take away just the NBL thing, for colleges. Everything's on TV, right? Every basket counts. It's all on TV. Every Rapid League game, every game is filmed. You can see it from anywhere. Scouts looking, college scouts, Aussie NBL scouts for development players. It's a bit of a game changer, eh, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. Like those boys are going out there and like really playing hard and playing the right way. And yeah, guys like Jimmy, like he's unbelievable. And then yeah, Nicky D was great too. Ernest goes in there, bumps everyone around. It's fun to watch, and like they're, you know, giving it to us at practice as well. We usually like play in those teams. We actually played a Rapid League game just before the season started, like starters versus the bench, and it's tough and it's super funny. I got here and Inge kind of explained what the Rapid League was. I was like, man, I did not hear about that. Like that is crazy. So yeah, really cool like initiative, and yeah, exciting for like the league and those young boys.
I heard Chris Anstey talking about it on Instagram. I think Chris Anstey is now something to do with the Taranaki Airs, yeah, in the ownership group maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was really pumping it, saying like New Zealand NBL is ahead of the curve, like all these things coming in, which is awesome. So it's great for our league. Anything else Rapid League, Phil? Apart from Caleb's massive dunk, couple of wins. Nick Davidson, I put in bold. He's got his own section coming up because there's been an awesome start to the season. We'll talk about him once we talk about the Bulls game.
I think there'll be a bit of it. Obviously, you're allowed 7 on the roster for the Rapid League. So at the moment, we've got, because we're shorthanded with...
Let's talk about the Wish.
Couple of 100%.
Shorthanded. Yeah. So
Cohen Williams.
My weekend was turned to dust on late Saturday night when I get a phone call saying Adam Barton out with COVID. Sick, Adam Barton. We hope he's feeling better. Can we get someone else in? Because can we get Cohen in time? Easter weekend, I'm thinking, I'll do my best. Like, send all the emails up. The league, awesome. Got him done. Cohen did all his paperwork, did his e-learning that you've had to do. You know, he dropped his sport, he did it all, bam, bam, bam. And we know Cohen pretty well. Phil's coached him since he was,
I don't know, 10?
10. And then I jumped on board last year with the reps and helped Phil out. And so, awesome kid. We call him the Wish.
Great nickname.
Should we say why? Do you know why we call him
no
the
idea.
Wish? No idea. I'll tell you, why not? So, jersey unveiling at under 17 last year. We won the Nationals last year. So, earlier in the week, we're doing the jerseys. Phil asked me to do it, and I thought I'd have a bit of fun with it. So I gave everyone a nickname, like James, the Brain, Matthews, and all the Adam Babyface Barton, all this stuff. Cohen had just had just the worst, like, buzz cut haircut. And so I called him Cohen the Wish, because he looked like he was like on a Make-A-Wish campaign. I'm not proud of it. But it went down well.
Yeah.
It went down really well.
Well, it's a cool nickname. But like, the Wish is
like
cool.
Cohen the Wish Williams sounds really cool, and it's kind of stuck. And I actually got to call him that. I didn't think I'd get to call him that on TV within a year.
Yeah.
But I did. Yeah. Gets on. So he finds out he's playing late Saturday afternoon. Well, might be playing because it's still pending approval from the league. And then rolls in, gets thrown in, hits first 2 threes, 1 from each corner. Played well, threw some dimes, which we know he does. That's what he does. He throws. And he's been training with the team a little bit, eh? That was awesome. That was a real cool moment. It was cool to see.
Yeah, he's a legend. I maybe a few months ago when I signed with the Giants, Andy sent me a photo, and it was me and Cohen when he was a fan.
Like, I remember
he was just a kid. Like, he was really like young,
massive, like buck tooth little kid.
And then like Len sent me a photo of him at practice, and was like, he's one of our like development guys this year. So it was really cool to like come back and see him and just see like how like he's an actual like man like now, you know. He's playing, like he's really grown up. He's not just like a 11-year-old kid like at the games watching. He's out there making plays and stuff, which is really cool.
He's got a bit of swag to him, doesn't he?
He does. He's one of those guys that just turns up. He's a gamer. You know, like he'll play anywhere, anytime. He's always in. He wants to get involved. Strangely, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, he was left-handed.
Yeah, you said this in commentary.
He's left-handed shooter, always been left-handed. He decided he wanted to go change to right-handed. So he changed to right-handed.
A dagger through your heart.
Yeah. I was like, oh, come on, bro.
You wouldn't be able to tell. It looks great.
Yeah, he's got a really good form on a shot. And he had some issues with his thumb on his left hand.
Okay.
He had quite a bad injury to it, and then an operation on it. And he was out for... Before that, under 18s.
Missed all our qualifying tournaments, and then we kept him around. Yeah. Like we did, he had a great tournament.
He did, And, but sort of through that process, he was still having problems with his hand. Yeah. He was like, well, this summer I'm going to work on my right-hand shot. So he's gone right-handed.
And, maybe I should shoot my free throws.
that's pretty cool from him, because, you know, he just shows that dedication to actually try and make that work. And,
That's unreal, far out.
The Bulls game itself, the NBL game, like I said, awesome atmosphere. Sellout, 19 straight sellouts. And we get ripped out sometimes for the Giants having sellouts, but there's empty seats. And we know the reason season ticket holders, sponsors don't show up, but not many yesterday, eh? Like Easter Sunday, late afternoon, not a great time for kids, but awesome crowd, awesome energy. New GI Ant?
Yeah, look great. Needs a bigger single.
Need to work on that single. Yeah, that's my job this week.
We're getting there with it.
We're getting there, but the guy inside it, to break the fourth wall, it's not a real GI Ant. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was a lot of twerking. We might have to just turn down like a little bit more PG.
Yeah, for sure.
But the potential mascot makeup of the outfit, it just does that naturally, right? He might not even be trying to do it.
Yeah, just the walk. Awesome experience, I thought, in there. And we don't get to see it all, Phil. Obviously, we've got our headphones on doing the commentary, but felt like great atmosphere. Did it come across plain?
Yeah. The crowd was super loud. We went on a huge run, maybe in the
third quarter, I think it was 19 points.
The crowd was unbelievable, you know, like giving us a lot of juice, and hopefully we can keep replicating that same sort of atmosphere over the next few weeks.
Similar problem to Canterbury. They had a 7-foot Samuel Timmons, and Dan Fotu got in foul trouble early, so Ernie had to come in, set two outrageously hard illegal screens. the second one where, who was it, Ethan Rusbach, running up the floor chasing,
Alex or someone.
Yeah. And then Ernie just comes walking, like flying over, bang. And then I looked at Fitch, and Fitch just looked at Ernie, he's like, what are you doing?
I heard him, oh my goodness. Far out.
Adrenaline, like Ernie hasn't had many Sal's NBL minutes,
no,
has he? Like, especially at that part of a game.
Yeah.
With guys like Rusbach on the court and, you know, like Tall Blacks out there running around. So
it shows you how strong Ernie is, because when he hit Ethan, Ethan's a reasonably big guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ernie didn't budge.
No.
Like, Ethan just hit him and he was on the floor quick.
Awesome.
Ernie's just standing there with that look on his face like, what?
Now, he's a unit.
That third quarter, it almost got to a point where, like, oh, we're seeing a Rams game again. The start of the third, where boys couldn't buy a bucket from the free throw line from anywhere. We were thinking, oh, is this going to go the way of the Rams game? But you guys pulled it back in. And Dan, you're a massive part of that. I think both first plays of both games, you're in the corner, like on the floor, chasing the ball, like, and falling into the seats. But you hustled your 12 rebounds, 22 and 12. You were up there at Timmons' height, getting those rebounds, and you had to, right? Because otherwise he was just going to grab everything. And you kind of pulled them back into it, a couple of big shots as well. Alex McNaught had that big three right in front of us. Nick Davidson came on and was super aggressive,
awesome,
and got to the hoop and scored some buckets as well. And then obviously Dan Fotu had that earth-shattering dunk.
Like, unreal.
Around the back. Yeah. Yeah. The point.
Yeah, the point was crazy. The poor kid.
So then... That was awesome, and like the crowd absolutely loved it. And then obviously things went a bit pear shaped at the end. Eh? Mm-hmm. That 7-point lead kind of got diminished. What happened, do you reckon?
Man, I'll have to properly go back and watch the whole thing. But they're American, you know, straight off the plane.
He's Muhammad.
He was really good, like really good. We were having trouble stopping him. He was just seemed to, you know, like be able to score whenever he wanted. So that's something we gotta lock in on a bit more. We didn't really have like many clips or anything of him, but right-handed, absolute hooper. So credit to him, he got it done for him. Things like just settling the ship and keeping everything chill. Our zone really worked for us, which was cool. But we're not going to be able to rely on it like that all the time. They had some bench guys hit some huge threes, and so it kind of just
young Davis,
Liam Davis,
three, like who's the guy you want shooting the ball, right?
Yeah, he was wetting them. So
he's probably more than a capable shooter. The first time I've seen him is the Rapid League, and he did pretty good. But out of the group that was on the floor at that moment, he's probably the one guy you would let shoot. And credit to him, he knocked down a big three in the corner.
He did.
That was a big moment. There's a few big moments for both sides. Drew Lealosongiapi had a great game. Like he is crafty and he's bouncy. I love that kid. He missed that dunk.
Yeah, he did. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's a big moment for the Giants. And then there was Liam Davis's three. That turnover, that was a real killer, eh? that threw it to Naughty threw it.
Oh, yeah, like just a straight pass. I think he was trying to throw it to you.
Yeah. A bit like lazy, yeah. And then yeah. that was a big moment, kind of sparked the balls back into it.
And that's potentially that fatigue factor, you know, because he, you know, like you said, it's only your second game in, you're still getting your feet, getting your lungs, you guys haven't played a lot, end of the game situation, and that's just that. Little lack of oxygen to the brain.
For sure.
Right, we're getting wildly over time because we're having too much fun talking Giants. So we're going to, really quickly, I want to talk about Nick Davidson before we move on to everything else around the league. He played just one game last year. Like, we've seen him at school. He was at Nelson College and played against him and everything. He's come back a different man from a season over playing college in the States.
Yeah, he has.
He's always had the ability, don't get me wrong, but just like that confidence and stuff.
I think, that level over there, he's really enjoyed it and he's excelled at that level. And physically, he's come back and he looks a little bit stronger.
He looks good, doesn't he?
Which you need at this next level. Like if you take Hayden, for example, he's still that schoolboy,
skinny arms.
A little bit lean, you know, and physically, he's finding it pretty tough because he's matching up with these guys from other teams
who are straight into him.
Where Nick, I think, is in a sort of situation now where he can handle that, and it's showing through his gameplay through the Rapid League and also on into the main games where he's been a real contributor, and I think it's great. It's awesome.
And that mindset, Dan, like, he's playing out there with Alex, who's a tall black and a breaker, and Dan and you guys all play in the Australian NBL. You've been a boomer. Dan Fott is a tall black, but he's given the ball. I'm going to try and score. Yeah, that's an awesome mindset.
Yeah, awesome confidence from Nicky D. And he's just like, I think he'll really, really help us as like a spark plug off the bench over the season. And talking about his body looks great. Like, he looks like he's really put on some muscle. And I know for me, that was a huge step in like my career, was when I kind of started to grow into my body a bit and, you know, put on a bit more weight and that sort of thing. So he looks like he's got that on the way. And, that's really going to help him in the next few months.
I think also it's seeing the ball go through the hoop creates a different level of confidence as well. So, and he's managed to do that from the outset, from the first Rapid League game where he was a dominant contributor. And that's just given them that extra confidence to come out and be that guy on the floor, which I think is great. I think, he'll get more opportunity in the next few games, I'm sure.
Certainly will. Right, we're going to move on to the Sales Around the League segment. And before we get into it, special deal for all GI Antics listeners. Go to sales.co.nz. We have an online code for you. We're going to have an online code for you every week for listeners of GI Antics. This week, it is Giant Half. Giant Half. All one word. And that gets you a buy one, get one free on any half pizza. Available until next Wednesday, the 10th of April. So the next time the podcast comes out, there'll be a new code and that one won't work. Sales Nelson or Richmond. Online ordering only, not available with any other promo voucher, special, half picture specials, etc. Available for delivery, sales.co.nz. So thanks to the guys at Sales. Matt Dewar, who runs South Island Sales, is a Richmond lad and a massive Giants fan. Lives down in Christchurch now, watches every game. So awesome jumping on, helping us out here at GI Antics. And we'll have deals for you from Sales all season. Right, around the league, we're going to have to shorten this a wee bit just because we spent so much time on the Giants. But hey, that's what we're here for. The Saints coming to town. And they played the Tuatara yesterday for us, Easter Sunday. And then Tuatara, myself included, have picked them to win the championship, all the airs, and they lost by 30 to the Saints. Tough place to go, as you know, you guys both know, to Wellington. Zico's back. They've obviously got a nice team. Hyrum Harris, everyone, top of everyone's free agent list. 30 points though, Phil. Were you expecting that?
No, not really. But like you said, the Saints playing in Wellington, first home game, got majority of their crew together. Hyrum Harris changes the team. Yeah, he's a tough competitor, and I think maybe the Tuatara were probably similar to the Giants in a way, a little bit underdone with game time for a majority of their main players. So
Tom Vodanovic wasn't there. Getting married, congrats Tom, at the weekend. He wasn't there to play against his old team. Rob Lowe had that stint, a really successful stint with Melbourne United, but then hasn't played much basketball. And also, congrats to Rob, had his second child late last week. So maybe a bit of fatigue there for Rob as well. Ruben Tarangi hasn't played too much. Cam Glidden kind of came off the bench and shot threes for the Breakers. Oh, yeah, so I get what you're saying, but still, Corey Webster hasn't played overly heaps in Perth. and they had a young fella, Tukaha Hooper, at the point while they wait for Tom to come back, I guess, and then Kawira around the point.
Yeah. But, well, Lat Mahon was pretty tough for the Saints from the outset. He just was on one, you know, and he changed the game pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And the Tuatara just never really looked in it. Once the Saints made a bit of a break on them, that was kind of it. I didn't catch the rest of the game because we were getting ready for the Giants rapidly, but you know, the outcome, I wasn't surprised after watching the initial part of the game. I thought that the Saints were going to get away from them.
Is that time of year, Dan, where everyone isn't themselves yet, right? Is that is that fair?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But that Tuatara, that Saints team, you're going to learn a lot about them this week, I guess, and scout before they come on.
Yeah, well, I went to the AIS with Lat Mahon. He's like my position. We're the same age. So we played each other in nationals. He played for South Australia. I was West Australia. And I remember getting to the AIS and he would just manhandle me the first maybe like 2 months I was there. I might have got dunked on every single practice, like every single one. He's an absolute like competitor, really, really good player. He's going to be really good in the AMBL, I'm sure, in the next few years. And yeah, I was pumped when I saw he came here because I'm keen to get another matchup with him and see if I can stop him for once. But yeah, and then also Ben Eyre is a great, he had an awesome year at South East Melbourne. And yeah, me and Hiram go way back. So I'd love to go against him again. He had, once again, an awesome AMBL year with the Wildcats, got in that starting lineup and really kind of changed their season. So yeah, he's hot property out here in New Zealand and yeah, pumped to go against Wellington.
And they got Tohi. So what if we move into a quick preview of what's coming, what they don't have is a seven-footer. So for the first time in the season, you guys aren't going to, Dan Fotu isn't going to have to look after someone, you know, with 4 inches on him.
Yeah.
That Tohi and Dan's probably taller than Tohi, right? Maybe not as, well, actually they're both pretty strong individuals, so that's going to be a really good matchup.
It will.
And it might allow you guys not to, you wouldn't have to look after Tohi, for example, if they had a seven-footer in town. Which we had to deal with the last couple of weeks, right? You're having to play, look after a 4 or 5 man.
And,
so that'll make a difference. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough for like the young guards in particular.
Yeah, very tough. Like, it's a powerhouse rolling into town.
12-time champs. They've been in 20 grand finals, and they're 40 years old. So every 2 seasons, they make a grand final.
Mm. Now, last time I was here, they went undefeated and won the whole thing.
Well, that was the greatest team that's ever played in the league. It prompted the salary caps and everything that came, after.
It was kind of the Tall Blacks with Nick Kay and Sunday Dash. It was pretty crazy.
That was unreal. Elsewhere, I'll just go through it real quick. Overtime down south, always fun to start.
Free throws.
Was it?
Yeah. Both teams were like shot like 50% from the free throw line in an overtime game. Someone makes one more throughout the game, they win. Like, come on. Make free throws. Come on. Come on, guys.
And the other note I had here was Sam Froling, as expected, right? As advertised. You play with him, though, you know him. Like, yeah, he's going to be good.
Yeah, he's my roommate for the last 6 years. Yeah. I kind of told Ingy, we watched the game, I was like, Sam will end up with some crazy stat line tonight. He started kind of slow, but worked it out. And him and Tyrell was always a good matchup in the Australian League. And it didn't disappoint here either.
Dan, you know, we talk about all these imports and you're mates with all of them. You need to be bringing some of these guys to the Giants. You've got to have some sway, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. No one wants to come play with me. It's crazy. But it is cool. Like, I look around the league and I got mates on every team. It's really great, you know? Like, there's AMBL guys everywhere, guys I've played with or against on every team. So it's heaps of fun, you know, catching up with guys before and after games and going at them during the games. It's been cool.
Right, we're going to do a real quick MBS Whakatū focus. Thanks to the folks at MBS, principal sponsors of the Nelson Giants, of course. And they look after us here in our community focus section. Club ball hasn't started yet, school ball just ramping up, so this will be a bigger section as we go throughout the year. For now, though, a couple of notices from the good folks at Nelson Basketball Association. Kiwi Hoops Holiday Program, children in year 3 to 6. That gets underway Monday, April 15th and Tuesday, April 16th. There's a full-day option and a half-day option. Go to the NBA or Nelson Basketball Association Facebook group to register. Don't go to the NBA. Like, if you actually go to the NBA Facebook, it's probably hard to get yourself a local Kiwi Hoops holiday program in Nelson. Nelson Basketball Association Facebook page. And the other one is Jack Robbins needs a new roof. Jack Robbins, the famed old gym in Stoke, owned by Nelson Basketball. Plenty of memories for you there, Phil, I imagine. Well, I mean, we still train there.
Yeah, it's it's one of those icons of Nelson basketball that's been around forever. Used to play club ball in there on a Sunday after playing a Giants game, fly back into town, reasonably dusty, hit the hardwood on at JR, and it was a cool place to play.
Needs a new roof. So the Nelson Basketball Association officially opened up another part of the fundraising stream to help get their fundraising goal of $100,000. So you can buy a sheet of iron, which is quite a cool way they're doing it. So $250 buys you a sheet of iron to literally go on the roof. And then you'll get your name up.
Disclaimer, you don't have to put it up yourself. They'll put it up for you. But I think it's a good way to get behind it and stop the rain coming in on the floor.
Can happen. Can be a bit leaky there. Lucky it doesn't rain in Nelson. Right, we're going to finish with shot clock. As I fill cover while I get my clock ready.
The shot clock. This is the... Dan, were you going to get tested on your knowledge? Hugh comes up with some form of quiz.
Sweet.
And then... You're just going to be rapid fire firing out answers as quick as you can. Mike Fitcher in the last one was
he got 18
outrageously good. What's the score to go for? 18.
He got 18, but it's a little bit different because every
quiz is different.
But it's 24 seconds.
Okay.
And your one is to name Kiwis who have played in the Australian NBL. Go.
Ruben Tarangi, Shay Ely, Phil Jones, Mika Vekona, Hiram Harris. Luca Yates, DP, Rob Lowe.
No helping.
Abercrombie, Ty Webster, Corey Webster.
Time. 10.
10
with a little help from the ref and Kidd.
I thought you were going to just run through the Breakers squad.
Yeah, I would have started with the Breakers. Finn Delaney didn't get a message.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, okay. Brain fart.
It was one of those ones where there were so many.
Well, there is. I was like, yeah.
There's
18 right now.
I mean, it was almost too many to choose from.
Yeah, Luke Yates does count, by the way. Kiwi passport.
That was good. Let us know how you did at home. If you played along, put it on the Facebook page. That'll do us from GI Antics. The Saints are in town on Saturday, 3 p.m. Tickets at giants.flickup.nz. Let's get 20 straight sellouts, shall we? Because, that was an awesome atmosphere. It's always cool when the Saints come to town. Last week, 2 weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about when the Saints came to town with a stacked team and an 18-year-old Mika Vekona and an 18-year-old Mike Fitchett with the help from Tall Black Jeff Flair will beat them and had breakout games. So who knows what's coming for this young Giants team. Bit of cavalry still to come in the next few weeks as well. Sammy D getting better. He tells me he's playing next week. I'm sure the medical staff have got different thoughts. Pretty tough for him to sit and watch. And this to look out for later in the season. Sam Dempster is on 195 games for the Nelson Giants. So when he does come back, you tell what, that celebration will be better than the Rams championship banner celebration. Guaranteed.
Get it done, Hugh.
He's halfway.
Yeah, he's halfway to Phil.
Good God.
Gree Delicious, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
I got the end commentary last night, didn't I?
Yeah.
Is that going to stick? Is that a thing?
Okay, this guy's
I've had a few. I've had a few. The Gridley Bear. That's the boys from Hoops Heaven in Perth. They love that. So
Gridley Bear, yeah, I like that. I'm still trying to get Ernie Kearney to stick, which my five-year-old came up with.
It's a good one.
Thanks for coming on, bro. We'll get you on later in the season for sure.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah, that was heaps of fun. Thank you.
Awesome to have you back in town, Phil. As always, we need a rest.
We do. Yeah.
After, celebrating the return of the Sales NBL a little too hard last night. We'll see you next week here on GI Antics.